like one of the brightest football minds. You know, I handle the basketball shit. I feel like I'm Yoda when it comes to this basketball shit. But when it comes to this football shit, man, this pigskin gridiron shit, I wanted to have you on here tonight as a guest pilot, guest co-pilot, as you would say. Because, bro, like, I follow you on Twitter for years, and, like, you just know the game, right? And when I was talking to LeVar Arrington about coming on here, I was like, who better to really talk ball and talk football than you, bro? And you said that you have a crazy, funny LeVar Arrington story to start out with.
Yeah, man, I definitely do. First of all, I appreciate that. Yeah. I appreciate that for sure. But, yeah, man, so my sophomore year, right? I'm on varsity, man. I'm starting at linebacker. Man, the week before, I had just watched LeVar Arrington dive over the line, right? make the play in the backfield against Illinois. So the next week, I tape my fingers up look like LeVar Arrington and everything. I got my fingers taped up.
Before you go any further with this, I already know where this story is headed. It's about to be Def Comedy Jam, because that's how you do. But like, what exactly did you think you were going to accomplish by taping your fingers just like LeVar?
I thought I was going to play like him, dog. Play like Mike. I thought I was going to play like LeVar Arrington, right? Yeah. You know, these are days of the screw-in cleats. I had, like, me a $140 pair of screw-in cleats, man. I had some gloves that had been about $49. I took my gloves out that week.
You had the Newmans? You had the Newman gloves? Jerry Russell? Yeah, I had a
Nike. No, everything Nike now. I'm all Nike. So, man, I take my fingers up. Think I'm going to play like LeVar Arrington, man. It's like 3rd and 2, right? And I'm in a 10. The 10 is what they call the back that's off the ball, but he in the 8-gap, right? I had just watched LeVar Arrington dive over the line against Illinois. Man, I'm timing the snap. Man, I start going towards the line of scrimmage, man. He while the quarterback going through his cadence. Man, he hard counted me, man, and then snapped the ball, man. I dove all over the top of shit. That motherfucker was offsides like a motherfucker, man. Now offside like a bitch, man. That shit was first and goal like a motherfucker, man.
Oh, it was first and goal. Where y'all was like, the other team was inside the 10, right?
Yeah, they were inside the 10, but I'm sorry. They were probably about maybe 11, 12 yard line. It was like 3rd and 2, some shit like that. If we stop them, they got to kick a field goal. Something like that.
So you play, man, you play linebacker, like you a big guy. You like 6'4". How big were you in high school and college when you played?
About 6'3", probably about 220 then.
So y'all was about the same size. LeVar pretty much. LeVar's what, 6'4"? About 6'4"?
He about 6'4", probably about 240 something, man. Just a freak athlete though.
So who were the guys? Is he one of those guys? I know Andy Katsamar, Ohio State, Quentin Corriott guys. Who were the linebackers that you idolized when you was playing football? Who was your guys? Amo, if you dare, tap in, bro. I see you.
For me, really, man, it was LeVar. You know, Andy Katsamoy, like you said. Of course, Ray Lewis, man, was a dude. You know what I'm saying? Derek Thomas for me, because I was a guy that like that played the wheel a lot, outside backer. So, you know what I'm saying? I came off the edge a lot. So, you know what I'm saying? Get out to the quarterback. You know, stuff like that, those type of guys. But LeVar was just a dude because he could get after the quarterback and he could play off the ball and play the run too. He was the first version of Khalil Mack to me. You know what I'm saying?
Ooh, Khalil Mack.
Yo,
LeVar. We got LeVar Arrington, y'all. He just figured it out. He figured out how to use the app.
My God, I ain't gonna have to do all this to get on with you, man. Golly.
Hey,
what's happening?
I appreciate you, bro, going through the steps to pull up to the Some Dude Show right now. We got on the MyBookie hotline right now the second pick in the 2000 NFL draft, y'all. Two-time first-team All-American, three-time Pro Bowler in the league. One of the greatest college football players ever, in my opinion. Like my boy Justin just said, he had little kids, high school, middle school kids trying to jump over the line of scrimmage, getting offside penalties. Former Penn State legend LeVar Arrington, man. Welcome to the show, my brother.
I appreciate you, man. Appreciate you. Fan of you, so I appreciate being on with you. Get to chop it up with you.
Bro, I really appreciate that, man. So, LeVar, like, I see you in the gym, bro. I see you on Instagram doing your thing, bro. You in the gym. You still in great shape. You looking good out here, bro. You still drinking your protein and shit. You in the lab working out. But I see you in the gym with your Jordans on, right? And it's kind of driving me crazy. You creasing those J's, bro. How many sneakers do you have in order for you to be able to wear them to the gym like that and just crease up the beautiful J's?
I don't crease them, though. They ain't creased. They're not, you know, that's funny because everybody be asking, like, how do you not crease them? And I don't wear socks either. I don't like socks. So I don't wear socks and I don't crease my sneakers. I don't wear them enough for certain, but I'm very conscious of, they take care of you. You take care of them. We got a deal. You know what I mean? So within that agreement of my kicks allowing me to wear them to the gym, I agree with them that I won't crease them up. So no, we good. We good. They firm. If you check it real close, they ain't no creases.
How many pair you got in the lab, LeVar?
I'm not one to brag, so I don't get into all of that, man. But I have a healthy collection though.
Healthy.
It's healthy. Yeah, it's a healthy.
We live on Amp, y'all. Some Dude Show. LeVar Arrington just pulled up, man. The NFL season is here, LeVar. Like, my blood was pumping last night, and I didn't even play football on the level that you played. As a former NFL star, first-round pick, I know your blood flow. I know your blood is flowing watching this come around this time of the year when football season gets going. What is there that you do in your, like, post-career right now to supplement that adrenaline? Because I know you missed that adrenaline rush.
You know, I played hard for a long time. Like, you know, when they talk about you got to be dedicated to your craft and what you're going to make money at and be willing to do it for free for a really, really long time before there's any type of payday or payment involved in it. You know, I started playing football when I was 8 years old. I looked at my mother and I told my mother at 8 years old, one day I'm gonna make enough money to buy you a home and retire you from doing what you're doing. And, you know, I didn't get paid that type of money. I didn't make that type of move. I wasn't that type of successful for another, 15, let's see, 8. Yeah, like 12, 13 years. You know what I mean? So you're talking about a 12, 13 year grind to get to a point of where you can actually make a wage where you could actually do something special for the people that are special to you. So by the time I got to the end of my career, you know, I had been playing for so long, if you take into consideration when you start from start to finish of doing something, that, you know, by the time I got to the end of my career in 2006, I was good. You know, I was good. I coached for 6 years. I've done a lot of, you know, a lot of mentoring of young men and helping them to build brand value. That's my thing. You don't have to worry about the NIL until you have the value of your name and your image and your likeness. So it's all about name, image, likeness, value. I've been doing that since my rookie year, since 2000. And so for me, I get a kick out of the fact that I get to watch a lot of dudes that are in the league that I've touched in a way where, you know, I've given them some type of guidance, some type of perspective, some type of knowledge, or some type of a nugget that actually helped them to be better at what it is that they're trying to do so that they can continue to achieve at a high level themselves. So for me, I don't really look at it and miss it or get my adrenaline up when I'm watching it. I just be really like, I enjoy just being a fan. You know, I just really be a fan of watching it. Like when this Monday night game comes on, like I want to see what the Jets are all about. And if the Buffalo Bills want to spoil all of this offseason hoopla that's going on, it'd be interesting to see how it all turns out. And I watch it as a fan and then get ready to do what you do, jump on, crack a mic and talk about what it is that I saw. And I don't really get into feeling like I'm misplaying the game or, you know, this time of the year, like every once in a while, you know, I'll smell something. I'll walk outside and be like, man, that smells like the grass the day of a game, you know, or, you know, something like, oh, this weather right here, this feels like football weather. But I look at it from, I did it. Like I'm Conan the Barbarian. I'm the Destroyer. I already did it. You know what I mean? I don't need to go back and try to do it again. I already did it. So for me, I just enjoy it at face value and watch these dudes that still plan do what they do and admire them for what it is that their hard work, where it leads them.
Bro, that's dope. Like you made that transition, that post-career transition, because a lot of retired players often struggle with that shit. They struggle with their post-game transition into regular life, if you want to call it, or other business ventures. But you've done very well. Like, I want to hear about your podcast network that you have going on, as well as your company, Complete Athlete.
Yeah, so Complete Athletes is basically, it's kind of a spinoff on what my production company does, which is Up On Game. So it's a podcast show with me and TJ Hushmanzada and Plexico Burris, but it's also a production company behind the scenes, and we do some pretty cool things. Like right now we're partnered with Happy Valley United, which is the recognized collective for Penn State. And so we do content, we build content for the collective that is a product that is subscribable, a paywall, so to speak, for the collective. So I create, you know, I've been spending the last year and a half building the Up On Game network. And basically what I did was I tested and vetted the ability to be able to scale doing multiple shows, and how that process works, and how you keep that calendar, and how you're able to maintain with the talent and stuff like that, so that I could actually create a blueprint to be able to take it to college collectives. So, you know, a lot of these collectives, a lot of these schools, they really don't even have great representation in terms of what their content represents. So they probably have like one podcast show, is one dude, you know, one person from the area, local guy, nobody really cares about, you know, that it's probably cost effective to use them, but it's not an experience, Cuff. They're not really creating something that it's like, okay, I got a show I do right now called Quite Franklin. It's a play on words with Coach James Franklin, you know, the head coach of Penn State. So yeah, we do a show called Quite Franklin. So I think that, you know, it's pretty cool, you know, and it's a conversation that we've opened ourselves up to letting the general fan population that subscribes to hear the type of conversation we would have hitting into a game and coming out of one. You know, we got legends that do, you know, I got multiple legends that do different content on the page as well. Like we had Spice Adam doing spicy takes. We got OJ McDuffie and Kijana Carter that you know they're doing a podcast as well. Just pretty dope dudes that have played the game, played it at a high level, and are legends within that specific particular community, and bringing that to the forefront. So when I created Up On Game, it was really just to be able to test and vet what I, you know, was really wanting to do, which was get into the NIL space, work with the collectives and work with the universities on how to create new and improved ways of being able to generate money for their collectives that would ultimately go towards helping their NIL situations.
Yo, we live on AMP right now with the legend, LeVar Arrington. Tonight, we got the New York Jets, LeVar. Like you said, you anxious to see what Aaron Rodgers is going to do. The Buffalo Bills, they've been the team that everybody's been hyping up for the last 2 years, and they seem to come up short. I'm looking at my bookie right now, and they got the Jets plus 113. A lot of people are picking the Jets. I seen the guys yesterday on NFL Countdown. A lot of the analyst guys are picking them. How do you feel about Aaron Rodgers this year? Is the hype real? Because that AFC East, we saw Tua yesterday. He was slinging the pill all across the yard.
He was slinging it.
So like, how do you feel? Is Aaron Rodgers going to be able to get these guys to the promised land?
I'm skeptical. I'm a skeptic until I'm not. I think it's just fair to be a skeptic of things until you're proven wrong. Like as media, I can make bold predictions here and there, but as you know, Cuff, I can make a bold prediction and then that thing could change the next day. I can make another bold prediction the next day. That's the beauty of having the microphone. You know what I mean? So I could sit there and tell you today boldly, like, yeah, Aaron Rodgers is going to take them to the Super Bowl. Yeah, you know what I mean? But tomorrow after if they lost the game tonight, I'd be like, man, I don't know if they're going to go to the Super Bowl. So my bold prediction is I don't think they might not even make the playoffs. You know, I don't know. You know, I think that they had the makings of a really good team. It seems as though Aaron Rodgers has been poised to be a person and not a thing. You know what I mean? And so when you can relate to your teammates and your teammates have an affinity for you and you're the leader of a team because of the position that you're playing, then with that responsibility, you have to be aware of how your teammates view you and how you come across to them. And it seems like he's doing everything right while he's in New York. So, you know, they got talent. They got a big-time talent, Quinnen up front. They got Sauce on the back end. They added receivers on the offensive side of the ball. They added the firepower in the backfield with Cook. I mean, they're deep. They're very deep. And Salah is a dope-ass coach, man. And so, to me, when you look at the makeup of what they have, on paper, they look like they should win, but I've been a part of teams that had some of the dopest football players ever in the history of the game, from Deion Sanders to Bruce Smith to Marco Coleman to Mark Carrier to, you know, you name it. I played on a team that was full of a flunk of talent. Brad Johnson was our starter at first. Jeff George was his backup. Jeff George ends up being the starter. Man, we didn't even make the playoffs that year, my guy. You know what I mean? So you can have all the talent in the world, but the one thing that New York Jets has been dealing with and they've been fighting with is struggling with culture. Culture, you know? Yeah, you know what I mean? And that can be the biggest determining factor of if a team is able to have success or not is if the franchise as a whole has a healthy, successful culture. And it hasn't seemed to be that in New York. So it'll be interesting to see if all of this that they have going on personnel-wise is actually able to overcome, or the culture maybe has been shifting, has been changing. You know, it's hard to believe that it would be. I mean, you look at what's taking place in Washington, you know, it just takes pulling the tooth all the way out from the root. You know what I mean? And that's what needs to happen sometimes. I don't know what the situation is in New York because I'm not that intimate with it. But if they can overcome some of the cultural issues that we've seen take place there, then they should have a chance. But that could be a daunting task even for Aaron Rodgers.
When you say culture, like culture changers, like who are some of those guys that you play with in Washington, different stops along the way that were those culture changers? Because you were one of those guys. You was a gladiator. You demanded respect. Deion was one of those guys, even late in his career. Champ Bailey was one of those guys. Clinton Portis. Who are some of the guys you played with that were culture changers that changed the entire locker room?
See, but here's the thing. You're talking about players and locker room culture. I'm talking about ownership culture. Ooh. You know what I mean? I want to say it's a little deeper than just the locker room, because sometimes players can't overcome leadership culture. You know what I mean? Like ownership culture. And that's, to me, that's the biggest key to all of it. Like, we don't, as players, we don't necessarily matter as much when the culture is broken and the culture is toxic starting at the top. You know what I mean? That's hard to overcome no matter what those names. All those names you named, we didn't make it to the playoffs, you know, outside of Portis. But, you know, that first year I was in Washington, we had all those names you named with Champ Bailey and going to Deion and all of them and Chris Samuels and, you know, all the names I just named you. We didn't even make the playoffs. And I think that was because we were in an environment where, for me, I was a rookie. I didn't know any better. I didn't know what was really going on, but we were being indoctrinated to a toxic culture that was created by the top. It started with the ownership and it trickled its way down into everything else that was going on. It's difficult to have success when the culture from the top, I'm talking the guy that cuts the checks, when that culture isn't what it's supposed to be, because you just never know what's coming next. You know, we had different guys coming in there by the week. You know, there was no real stability. There was no real camaraderie, no real ownership. It was like you're basically in a building of a bunch of mercenaries. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's hard to tell as is. But when you have a whole bunch of guys that, you know, the older guys realized what time it was and they handled it properly and in the way they did. The younger guys don't have any idea whatsoever. We sitting there, we went in the Super Bowl. We're going to get to the Super Bowl, da-da-da, this, that, and the other. No, man, these old heads is getting their paychecks and they going home and chilling with their families. You know what I mean? So there's just a lot of moving pieces, a lot of elements that play a part in if a team collectively as a whole is set up to have success, even if personnel-wise, what you see going on the field actually looks really good on paper.
Yo, I'm looking at it right now. We live on AMP, y'all. LeVar Arrington pulling up Some Dude Show. When I look at the league now, man, as a fan, as a kid, like I watch guys like Ronnie Lott, you know, the Steve Atwaters. They were destroying people, right? They had the big-ass shoulder pads. Like, I want to ask you, because you was in those trenches, you was outside linebacker, you played all around the field, you was sideline to sideline guy. Is the NFL soft now as far as the physicality? Does it drive you crazy, some of the penalties you see now, some of the shit you see? I know player safety is paramount, but, like, is the league way softer than it was even when you was coming through Penn State going into the league?
Man, I think our culture, our world, our society is getting soft. Super soft, you know, a bunch of sissies. And yeah, I mean, I think the quick answer is yes, it's gotten soft. I mean, the one thing that I do enjoy is that there's still some dogs out there that's hunting. And you always have to adapt and you always have to adjust to what your given parameters are. But you know, like for me, when I was playing one year, I was like, the highest fined guy for many weeks. And then I think I lost it to Hugh Douglas, I want to say, because he had a hit on somebody from Chicago and they fined him so heavily, he took the number one spot from your boy. But I was getting fined for hitting too hard, you know, back when I was playing. So now you look at the game now and them trying to kind of clean it up, like you said, not only are they trying to clean it up from a safety perspective, but they're also continuing to try to make sure that there's points being put on the board. You know, if there's touchdowns, that's good for business. You know, yeah, offense yeah. production is good for business. So the defensive guys are always put in a position where they're fighting battles, uphill battles to be relevant within this game. But with that being said, there are some guys out there. Like you watched Fred Warner yesterday. If you saw him play, like there's dudes out there, Micah Parsons. Like these guys are out there and they're playing the game the way the game should be played. Like there's some really talented and really gifted guys that are still playing at a very high level and a physical level. But there's no doubt about it that the game has changed. And you know, at some point, you look at how some of these refs are calling the games and how it's geared towards not touching the quarterback at all. You touch their face, you glance their face mask. It's a penalty. You glance their leg. It's a penalty. Like everything that you do is touching him is like a penalty. And in the end, you can either crown a quarterback for being a part of a game where every other player outside of punters and kickers, every other player is in a gladiator sport, a full contact sport. That's why you have pads. That's why you have a helmet with a face mask. That's why you dress the way that you do. You're preparing for a full contact sport. It's not just for looks. It's not for show. Some cats is actually, I used to go out there and I went out there. I was playing for keeps. And somebody might say, well, what does that mean? Like, if he dies, he dies.
He dies.
Some pastors out there playing for keeps. And so to me, I grew up that way. I grew up around family members and people I idolized, and being a fan of the Steelers, I grew up around that mentality and that type of hard-nosed culture. And it just seems like they're trying to drive that out. You know, every hard hit is a, you know, personal foul, unnecessary roughness, or, you know, there's always something that's kind of a constant deterrent from guys playing the way that the game was meant to be played. You know, if the game was being monitored and regulated the way that it is right now, probably 99% of the defensive players that are in the Hall of Fame wouldn't even made it to the Hall of Fame. So it's almost like a moving contradiction in a lot of ways. Like, them some hard-ass dudes that's resting in Canton. Yeah. You know, so what does that really mean? You mentioned Steve Atwater and some of these other guys. You said Ray Lewis, and, you know, you talk about the Lawrence Taylors and stuff like that. Like, them guys was out there playing for keeps. Steve Atwater, like, out there playing for keeps. You come downhill on Christian Okoye, you can't be playing for fake. Because come on, man, you're gonna have Nigerian nightmare footprints going up and down your chest, you know. So in the end, you know, to see the game where it's at, I hope at some point they kind of relax themselves from, okay, CTE hit and it hit hard, and there had to be an answer and a call to action for CTE, because it's still something that is a major part of what takes place with football players. But with that being said, just take care of the players that played the game. Don't change the game. Take care of the players that played the game. I mean, it's like saying, hey, guys is coming up with CTE and all kinds of messed up, you know, neurological type of deals going on with their heads in boxing. But you know what? They didn't say, okay, you can't punch a guy in the head but so many times during the course of a fight, or you gotta, you know, you can't punch this hard, or you can't throw uppercuts or anything like that. Like, the regulating of the of a gladiator sport is not there. It's not there. You know why? Because you go into the ring and that's the arena. You go into the arena and it's time to throw down. It used to be that way in football, but it's really not so much anymore.
It used to be a gladiator sport, man. We live with LeVar Arrington right now. My co-pilot, Anthony Morrow, is here. Hey, Mo, what's good, man?
What's happening, man? Y'all hear me clearly?
Yeah, you good. Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah, we are. Hey, LeVar, man, I'm going to tell you, big fan, bro. Appreciate you. Penn State, in the league, everything, man. You gave me them Lawrence Taylor's vibes. I love it, man. And I love what you said about the game, man. And, you know, how it is now. You know, it's more protection on the quarterbacks, of course. But the way you played the game was how, you know, we had Police Athletic League, PAL, here in Charlotte, North Carolina. Yeah. And, you know, I saw the guys, like, it was like, bro, you get hit, you get hit. That's it. If he's bigger than you, he's bigger. He's small, he's small. He's fast. He's slow, he's slow. He's a quarterback. Like, that's what it was. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I can appreciate, like, your affinity to the game. You know what I'm saying? And just wanted to ask you, bro, like, you know, just like after football, because you've done well after football. And I played 10 years in the league, bro. So, like, after that, I moved back to my city. And, you know, I had to find ways to fill that void. So I did it with real estate, foundations, fashion, stuff like that. Like, just talk a little bit about, like, what you did to fill that void, because you played like we knew you loved the game so much. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, what do you do to fill that void after, you know, you're a Hall of Famer to me. You know what I'm saying?
I got that college Hall of Fame. I'll take that. You know what I mean? I
can't wait to see you in the league.
Man, I appreciate it. I could have did better for longer in the league, and that might have, you know, gave me a better case at it, but I don't even look at it from that, you know, from that angle. It is what it is. My league moments. But to answer your question, you know, I feel that with family, my guy. You know what I mean? Like, I enjoy being a part of what my wife and what my kids have going on in life. I like to be a present father. You know, I'd be lying to you if I didn't say that. I get out here and there, you know, doing what I'm doing. but anyway, I did fill that void a lot with the things that I do in terms of being present for my family. And the one thing I always say is when I was going to be done playing ball, I wanted to be done with it. Like, I didn't want to leave and be like, well, what am I going to do? Or, you know, should I have kept playing or anything like that? Like, when I was done, I was done. And I felt like in my mind, I always wanted to be someone who built a legacy and built something to be proud of on my own. You know, it's like the Rooney family or the Mirror family or the Tisch family or, you know, so on and so forth. The, you know, all these different owners of these teams, we're making money building their dreams. You know what I mean? So for me, I think when I transitioned out of football, I was really, really poised to test myself, to be able to build something that would be a legacy play for me, something that my kids, you know, can do internships for and get paid to do it and eventually one day learn every aspect of the business and eventually run it the way that they would run it. And that's what I've been doing is just basically learning, you know, how to do business and do business the right way and teaching my children that a lot of these things that they're learning in school, it's a necessary evil for them to be acknowledged as someone who can do it academically, but also knowing that independent thought and independent learning is really what, and common sense and a tad bit of street smarts is really what's going to carry you in life to be successful in doing what it is that you're doing. Because, you know, ultimately, I just feel like a lot of times we're trained to be kind of like robots or be, you know, be rats in the rat race. And not to get all like high and mighty and uplifted and all this stuff in terms of talking about how you handle things. But for me, when I retired, I just always felt like everything that I put my mind to do as an athlete, I was able to do it because of a strong belief, but also with a strong work ethic. So right. I just kept the main things when I retired. And when I approached business, I approached it the same exact way. You know, I wasn't expecting to get results. You know, a lot of times us as players, we tend to think that the process isn't the same anymore because we went pro. You know, like I had success, I went pro. So something that, like I was telling Cuff earlier, like I played from 8 years old. You know what I mean? I played from 8 years old and I didn't make money until I was 21.
That's real, Hey, that's real, bro. I started playing basketball at 5.
Okay.
Getting no money to 21, 22 years old. You still the project.
Hey, look here. And it ain't guaranteed that you're going to make it that far to get that money to begin with. Yeah. So you're chasing a dream that could possibly, you know, be done at any given moment in time. But nonetheless, you trust the process. And what I always said to myself is if I didn't ever make it playing ball, that the lessons that I learned and the work ethic that I was exercising during the course of that time was ultimately going to be the reason why I was able to have success, whether I made it playing the game or whether it turned out to be something else that I was doing, because I was going to follow that same process.
Yo, we live on AMP right now with the NFL legend, the Penn State legend, LeVar Arrington, my co-host Anthony Morrow. LeVar, I heard that you used to move the puppies in high school on the hardwood on the basketball court. Like you were recruited by Georgetown, UMass, North Carolina,
Villanova.
Who were some of your basketball influences? Because for one, you had to be a phenomenal fucking athlete, bro, to go D1 at Penn State, linebacker, defense. Whose game did you have as a basketball player? Who do you remember?
I stopped growing up. I started growing out. And that was the problem with basketball because I was kind of fire on. My game was modeled after and was almost mirror image of what it was. My way of playing was Larry Johnson.
Oh, shit. That
was my game. I was a bull on the court. I had a nice little force you with how hard and how fast I was moving and stop and pull up with like a little mid-range jumper. But I was also agile and you know, athletic enough to get close enough where I take off over you. You know, a lot of the stuff
he was ducking on guys like that. Like that Grandma Ma, I'm from Charlotte. Now he the guy. He's a legend.
I was laughing like him. I was wearing Converse like him.
Did you have You had a middle part like
I had the part. I had the part liking, like, and I was built liking. You know, we were built a lot alike, and my game was power. You know, I rough you up down low. You know, you got to keep in mind, I played with a team called the Pittsburgh Jots when I was 14 years old. That was my first year with that group. And that had Danny Forson was one of the names, if y'all know basketball. That was one of the
Cincinnati,
names that was
on Cincinnati, the Bearcats, yeah.
There you go, right? So I was on that team when I was 14 years old. We were traveling and we were playing against, you know, Stephon Marbury, Kareem Reed, Samaki Walker, Antoine Walker, Adonald Foyle, you name it, from that Kobe, Lamar Odom. I was on that circuit, you know, but the problem that I ran into is that my coach, who was, and you guys know who he is, John Miller, who is obviously the father to Sean and Archie Miller. Archie Miller was on my team. I played with Archie at one point in time.
Archie can shoot that thing. He went to NC State. He can shoot that thing.
There you go. And he could dribble like a mother sucker, dog. And so for me, I was viewed as a football player playing basketball. And so I never really got a fair opportunity because every time they put me in, you know, I'm 6'3". I know I heard y'all talking about height earlier. I'm for real 6'3". I'm not 6'4". I'm a real 6'3". But my vertical was out of the gym, and I was quick. You know, them tall cats, they don't get up quick. You know, they move like they tall. So even though I was giving up a lot of inches, I was banging out, you know, I was knocking down thighs and stuff like that with my elbows, and I was getting up off of the ground quicker, and I was getting to the balls. You know, I was like a power forward at 6'3", playing against dudes that's 6'7", 6'8", plus, you know, and still in there like boxing out, outworking them, getting rebounds. But I just wasn't really respected as a basketball player because I was undersized. And so that was kind of, I started to really take a hard look at the fact that, you know, I could go to one of these colleges and I could be a, you know, 6th, 7th, 8th man off of the bench. Or I could pursue what it is that, you know, I'm really, really talented in, and I'm actually oversized. I'm for a tailback. I was a tailback in high school. I played tailback. I played linebacker. I played safety. And so I was tall, you know, 6'3". I was tall for a running back, but I was gifted. You know, I had movement. I had wiggle. I had loose hips because I could cross dudes over. You know, you have to be able to, again, you know, adjust to what it is that you got going on. I can't outdo you if we just here and we lined up and I got a 6'7" dude that's putting his hand on my back, hand checking me. So I had to figure out ways to be just as effective, which was, you know, trying to take them off the dribble, you know, being quicker, like pushing them in, stepping back out and making, forcing them to have to be as quick as I was, you know? So I had a lot of success doing it. Bobby Huggins loved me. Like, he loved me because I was nasty. Like, I'm going to beat you up. I'm going to beat your ribs up. Like I said, I'm going to bang. You're going to come up out of that game. You're going to have some bruises on your quads, man, because I'm going to be banging them. I'm pause again, but I'm going to be banging the hell out of them quads, man. So at the end of the day, you know, for me, it was just I really wanted to be tougher than dudes, and I wanted to outwork them. And in the end, if I had the opportunity, I was trying to get everybody up out of their seats. You know, locally speaking, I played ball, street ball locally at a spot called Ozenow. Shouts out to Dap Porter and all of them. And that was where I kind of built my street legend because I was taking off on cats. Like I could put my wrist at the height of me playing the game. I could put my wrist at the top of the white banking square. That was how high I was. That's how high I was jumping. And so I was putting some pretty masterful, pretty like kind of like exciting displays on at these street, and some of them was on with the Jocks as well, on the road as well. You know, talent brings out talent. So I had a few shining moments, but I ended up deciding, you know, against, obviously there were a couple schools I could have went to and played both, and they was offering a bag too. But I just wanted to really focus in on playing football and seeing what I could do with that.
You know who the guy was for me and Ant? We grew up in North Carolina. We North Carolina boys.
Yep.
You made me think about a guy. He actually reminds me of you. Julius Peppers was the guy for us, man.
I mentored Pep. I had time with Pep. That tells you how old I am. Like, I was young, but I was rocking with Pep and Big Ryan Sims when they were at Carolina. They used to come hang out with me. I used to break down some you know, rules of the game and rules of engagement, stuff like that, before they had went pro. So I had time with them. Yeah, he's bigger than me. You know, he had more of an opportunity to have success at the college level because he's big. You know, he's what, 6'6"?
He's 6'7".
He was big. You know, I'm 6'3". Like, I'm literally a legit 6'3". So I'm like a point guard. I'm like Steph Curry. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have no Steph Curry game. I have a big man game. Like, I'm not on that. I'm not on no go out and deal with people. If you remember Kareem Reed, like, I'm not trying to go out and guard. I remember they put me on Stephon Marbury at a tournament in Pittsburgh, where I'm from. And I'm like, why?
He put me in the put me back in the post. Put me back in the post immediately.
You're gonna put me in the blender. Like, am I quick enough to try to stay in front of the dude? Like, no. Can I handle what this man's skill set is out here right now? No. But you put me on him, so you know what? I'm going to do what I know to do, and I jacked his ass up. If he tried to get by me, I'm going to use that foul. Take it out of bounds. We could get the one-on-ones. I don't care. But you ain't going to embarrass me out here. So, I had no problems being a hack, a designated hacker either. You know what I mean? Like, I'll come in and do what I need to do to get somebody out of their game by just being a pest, you know. But that really, for me, I was destined to be a main attraction. In my mind, I'm not out here to be nobody's role player. I was out here to be the main attraction. And that didn't work for me, you know, being undersized, being someone that I'm looking at a guy in front of me and he's going to demoralize me literally and there's nothing I can do about it. That just isn't – that didn't work for me, man. I wasn't okay with that. So it was short-lived. You know, I didn't even play my senior year of high school. I didn't play basketball my senior year of high school.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I punched the dude. Hey, here's the story, though. I punched the dude in the face because he called me a nigger, right? And here's what's crazy. He played for an inner-city black team.
Shit.
So he thought he could get away with calling me a nigger because he played for an inner-city black team. And so we got to the end of the game. He said to me, he's like, remember, you'll always be a nigger. Ooh. And I punched him right in his, I broke his fucking face, right? And so I got suspended for 3 games. And I basically said, for me to get suspended for 3 games for feeling like I was in danger because a dude was calling me out of my name with a derogatory racial slur, and I responded the way that I did. I said, I don't need this, and I don't need your game. And I didn't go back. I didn't play not one more thing, not one more sport in high school. I did track. But they suspended me for 3 games. I said, you can have a whole season. I only played a whole season. I was already committed to Penn State to play football. Like, it was really asinine for me to have gotten in trouble over. I felt like I was defending myself. Like, I blacked out. I blacked out when he said it to me after the game. You know, he was up in my face. And yeah, like, I touched him. You know what I mean? And so I didn't even play my senior year.
Yo, that's crazy, y'all. We live on AMP right now. LeVar Arrington. I got to ask you before you go, Monday Night Football is about to come on, so we're going to tap into the game. We appreciate you pulling up, me and Amo. Got to keep it spicy with you, bro.
LeVar, I just gave you super spicy, though. I just gave you – that was super spicy. But go
ahead. That was super spicy. It was
I even used profanity, dog.
With your LeVar leap, like the LeVar leap, bro, like I feel like – tell me if I'm wrong here, but I feel like Bobby Boucher, the movie, they took your whole move. They took your move and put it in the Adam Sandler movie, bro.
You know what's crazy? Adam Sandler came to Penn State and studied me for the role of the water boy. I am the real life water boy.
Oh my, I never knew this.
Look it up. Look it up. I'm the real life water boy. Adam Sandler came to Penn State and was studying me in practice for his role to be the water boy. Pretty dope, right?
That is amazing shit that you only gonna get right here. I did not know that before today, man. That is crazy.
That's super content. That's crazy, bro.
I was number 9 in high school. You know what number Bobby Boucher was, right?
He was 9.
Number 9. And he had that big ass neck roll on. It's funny, for a long time I would tell people just kind of as a matter of fact, like, yeah, you know, Adam Sandler studied me for that part. Like, he came up, he was like, yeah, I'm going to study LeVar for this part. And people didn't believe me. And then one day we were at the Super Bowl and Adam Sandler was on Media Row. And I was like, yeah, like, I went over, like, I was on radio. And I went over and I was like, you know, you think Adam, you know, remembers me, and you think he remembers the whole thing? He was like, dude was like, hey, LeVar, like, and I was like, hey, LeVar, like, okay, like, I'm always weirded out when people recognize me. But he did remember me. They remembered me. And then Adam came over and he was like, yeah, I came over. I was hanging out with LeVar. I remember every other word I used was a cuss word because I was nervous and this, that, and the other, and da, da, da. But he stayed up there for like 2-3 days studying me and studying film for his role to be the water boy.
Before we let you go, LeVar, we just got a gem right there. LeVar Arrington is the water boy. He is the official Bobby Boucher. But I'm gonna put you on the hot seat real quick. Rapid fire questions before you bounce, bro. All right. What would Lawrence Taylor look like in today's NFL?
It's a great question, man. The game has evolved so much. Some guys translate. I don't think all guys translate. And I think some people would be offended by some of the people that I don't believe would possibly translate and be as dominant in today's NFL. But I think Lawrence Taylor's skill set and what he brought to the table would certainly translate, because he was fast. He would, like, what still matters now is being fast, being agile, and being strong and physical and violent at the point of attack. And I don't think he'd be any different than what Micah Parsons, or, you know, I heard you guys mention Khalil Mack. I mean, he would probably be on that level or maybe a step above. Although I'll say this, and starting probably with my generation of linebackers, we were just more I venture to say, and kind of daringly venture to say, we were better athletes. We started becoming better athletes than the athletes from that era. Like, right. LT was an anomaly and probably would still translate, but still, even then, like, I was coming out of high school. When I was going to college, I was running a 10-600 meters and a 4.39 40. Micah ran a 4.36, 4.37 40 at the combine, or at his pro day or whatever. And you're talking about dudes that are 6'3", 6'4", and they're 240, 250 pounds, and they're running 4.4 40s. Courtney Brown, 6'6", what, 2.267 coming out of college, and he ran a 4.4. You know, so the guys that, you know, were doing what they were doing, you know, I don't recall outside of, like, certain dudes like Bo Jackson or, you know, Deion Sanders. Like, there are a few dudes out there that were blazers, but they weren't guys that were in the trenches. They weren't defensive ends or, you know, linebackers. Like, you're talking about Javon Kearse. Javon Kearse was probably faster than everybody on the field.
The freak.
And he was a defensive end, and they called him the freak. And they used to play that joint every time he make a play. Oh, freak out. You know what I mean? So anyway, he was a bad boy too. Like, so I think he would still be dominant. How dominant? I don't know. Because you got to keep in mind, they didn't even use tight ends all like that when he was out. You know what I mean? Like, they had to start shifting to a 2-tight-end set because him and Carl Banks was coming off them ends like defensive ends, not linebackers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So the game has evolved and it's changed and it's so much different now. To get a sack in today's NFL is way different than getting a sack back then. You know, having success in today's NFL is just very, very different than what it was back then. Even when I played, it's just very different now. It's very quick. It's just faster. And so I don't know for certain that it would translate, but I think there are a few, like Eric Dickerson would translate in today's NFL. You know, I think guys like that would still, you know, they would still be able to do it in today's NFL. But it's like literally it would need to be physical freaks that were able to do it. Like people say Jim Brown, you know, like I said, Eric Dickerson, probably like a Marcus Allen. You know, a Ronnie Lott. I think a Ronnie Lott would be a Ronnie Lott in any era of football. He probably wouldn't be able to stay in a game in today's NFL, or he would have to adapt and adjust, which he probably would have been talented and gifted enough to do it. So, you know, Ray Lewis would have been able to play in any era. Ray Lewis would have been able to play in this era and go back into the negative era, right? Like the head slapping era and Deacon. Yeah. They're like, there's some dudes that could have played in early days. There's some dudes in today's NFL that would have never survived in yesterday's NFL. You know, there's some dudes that could have played in both NFLs.
Who was the toughest running back to tackle during your NFL and college career, but mostly NFL? Because I know you've seen a lot of guys with wiggle. Who was that guy that was hell to tackle?
NFL, my best matchup was Deuce Staley. That's who I enjoyed going up against the most. I never met a man that was too hard to take down. I would be lying to you if I told you I met a man that I met in the hole, or I met on the outside, and he was too much for me. I never experienced it ever, and probably never will.
So before we let you go, LeVar, me and
was that too aggressive? Was that aggressive? I never met a man I couldn't take down. Just so don't y'all try me, man. Don't y'all try me.
Hey, you've been pretty good at pausing yourself, man. You might need to pause that. That's okay.
You're right. You're all right. Pause on that. Yeah, that's a healthy pause, too.
It's a healthy pause.
It's a healthy pause. You got to censor yourself sometimes, you know?
All good.
Yes, sir. What y'all got, man? You got anything else? Because I'm about to go watch this game, man. And I really have enjoyed kicking it with y'all, though. I done went in some detail about stuff that I ain't really ever even went into detail about. You know, I figure I'd give y'all.
Before we let you go, yeah. LeVar. Who is going to win the NBA championship this year? I know you love NBA as well. Who going to win the championship?
Man, that's a great question. I mean, Denver does. It's always weird to say a team is going to repeat. You know what I mean? But Denver, it's like weird because the Joker, Jokic is like, he's so deceptively dominant. He's not just deceptively good. He's deceptively dominant, and then Murray as long as they stay healthy, they could be a problem. Now here's the caveat I'll say in terms of me looking at Denver and feeling like there's the possibility there is, I don't know what's going to take place trades wise all the way, you know, heading up to the season getting started. I know guys have gone to different places so far, but there's still guys that are trying to get out of where they're at. And I don't know all the rules and stuff like the terminology on when guys can stop going and get traded or what. But once I see what the rosters are, because I feel like the Lakers are one player away from possibly being able to give LeBron that one last opportunity, to be honest. And then I also look at, I feel like Milwaukee, a lot of people are high on Milwaukee, and I like Giannis a lot, but I don't know that the book isn't out on him at this point. And like you stack it in, and if Middleton and them can't produce from the outside, I just don't know if Milwaukee can get it done once they get to the playoffs. I don't, you know, as far as the 76ers, you know, it seems like they could have trended in the right direction, but this whole thing with James Harden, I think, kind of makes it hard to look at them out of the East. So I'm not sure. I'll say this. CP3 going to Golden State is very intriguing. They could be the dark horse to get back and do it again. If I had to bet today, I would say it would come down to those two teams, Utah and Golden State, to win it all.
I got the Lakers. I think it's going to be the Lakers out of the West. They're going to overcome Jokic and the Nuggets. In the East, I think it's going to be the Giannis revenge tour in the East, man.
Huh. I just think the book is out, man. If he don't find a way to shoot free throws and shoot a jumper, it could be like just heartbreak for them from here on out, man.
And he did what he was supposed to do. He got a chip out there.
How big I know my brother is. Like, I felt like the Celtics was ready to take that next step, but I think Smart was the heart and soul of that team. I think they just sold their heart and soul, you know, on the market. That's what I feel.
He was the glue, definitely. I couldn't believe it left go like that. But I know my boy, my brother, Cubs, Lakers fan. 100%. I still got the Clippers as a better team than them right now. They stay healthy. Ooh. But kind of switching gears, bro. I'm a Carolina Panthers fan from Charlotte since 95.
Okay.
I want to hear your opinion. We always have a solid defense. Yeah. We got the number one pick, Bryce Young.
Yeah. I think y'all heading in the right direction. But I don't think it's this year. I wouldn't, as a fan of. Are you asking me? Is it this year?
No, not this year, bro. I ain't tripping. I already know what time it is. Potential
growth for certain, for possibly setting the stage for next year to be more competitive, and then the year after that to possibly I feel like Bryce Young has that Joe Burrow type of swag to him. He could really bring that type of you know, accomplishment and type of excitement to Carolina. But not, I don't think this year, not as a rook. It won't happen as a rook, but the NFC South is weak anyway. So all y'all got to do is find a way to get hot, and y'all can build some real momentum going into years where y'all really could be competitive. Coming out of the NFC, but y'all not coming out of the NFC this year. Like, ain't no way, ain't no how. You can't have my Nettie, not no way, not no how, but you can have Masili. It ain't going to be Carolina this year, my guy. I figure I'd give y'all a color purple reference since y'all in Charlotte.
My guy. Hey, LeVar, man, I appreciate you pulling up, man, taking time out of your busy schedule, bro. We're definitely going to be in touch, man. Let the people know where they can follow you on social media.
I'm at King of the Mammals on IG. That's kind of generally all I use. I'm at LeVar Arrington on Twitter if you want to get at me. I don't really do the ads on Twitter all like that. But if you want to holler at me, I'm on Instagram at King of the Mammals. Just type in LeVar Arrington, LaVar. I should pop up. You know, you'll see it. You'll see a Stick City logo that pops up, which is obviously the number 11s that was made famous at Penn State. You know, so, you know, check me out. I'm there. I respond. You know, I definitely take the time out to respond to people who respond to me. Positivity is always, you know, encouraged. But if you want to be a jerk, whatever, you know, you're allowed to be that too. You know, if you're having a bad day and you want to let it flow, you can go ahead and do what you do. You know, now don't expect me to don't expect me to pacify it. Now, I might respond to you the same way that you gave it to me, but nonetheless, I will respond to you.
The legendary number 11 pulling up on September 11th. It was perfect, bro. Like I said, we're going to tap in, bro. I appreciate you pulling up.
Man, I appreciate y'all having me on, man. Keep doing what y'all doing. Like I said, big fan of the show.
30, you a motherfucking fool, nigga. I befriended these niggas before they got famous, they turned on me. I
I give a fuck, ain't no friends in this game. All the bridges I had built, they burned on me. Whatever happens with me and the bitch, after him and the bitch, don't concern on me. When I was younger, used to rock the cape, tried to save me, I hold and I learned from it. None of these bitches deserve being saved. I'm an ape when I bathe, I'm a king, homie. She ain't my man, so go fuck who you want. When you get here, I mean that shit sing for me. My brothers pick up whenever I call. Every time that I call, bought a ring for them. Cause they never let the phone ring. And they honest even when it stings. I gotta stop taking shit to the head and the heart. Niggas hating on me from the jump start. Niggas be acting original, low key be studying all of my private parts. I never tried to be joke, I always was ace, and my daddy was king of hearts. Knew I'd be rich and be famous, I rapped in the mirror while I cussle play Kingdom Hearts. I never let a bitch in, cause if she don't get close, then my heart won't get broke apart. All of the bitches won't ride on the boat, let him in, now my shit look like Noah's Ark. He wanted smoke, so we went to his mom's and we hit the front porch with a Molotov. Niggas ain't gangster, we know they soft. Niggas switch on the gang, cut his toes off. I befriended these niggas before they got famous, they turned on me. I give a fuck, ain't no friends in this game. All the bridges I had built, they burned on me. Whatever happens with me and the bitch, after him and the bitch, don't concern on me. When I was younger, used to rock a cape, tried to save me, I hold and I learned from it. None of these bitches deserve being saved. I'm an ape when I bathe, I'm a king, homie. She ain't my man, so go fuck who you want. When you get here, I mean that shit sing for me. My brothers pick up whenever I call. Every time that I call, bought a ring for them. Cause they never let the phone ring. They honest even when it stings.
I put my feelings inside of a bottle. I'm somewhere chilling inside of a model. She ain't my children, she grabbed and swallowed. I probably leave her a couple of dollars. I put on shit that don't come out the next year. Hold on, wait, let me in, it's the best here. I told P to call me when the check here. Told the pilot call me when the jet here. Got a little nigga deal in my left ear. I'm not one to mess with you, play, you get left here. Got some niggas don't care if they get caught. I won't stop if she tough, she can get bought. Niggas act like they tough, make them bitch out. I won't say what I did, I don't need clout. There's the door if you want, you can leave out. Boy, you play, we gon' spray when you leave out. I lost people I thought that would be here. That money start coming and shit started change people. Never switch on the gang, I was lit before fame. Kept it real and I'm still with the same nigga. We the one that was flipping them things, you know what I'm saying. Don't play that we lame, nigga. Took the game I was taught and put flame with it. I ain't tripping, just don't put my name in. Baby,
I befriended these niggas before they got famous, they turned on me. I give a fuck, ain't no friends in this game. All the bridges I had built, they burned on me. Whatever happens with me and the bitch, after him and the bitch, don't concern on me. When I was younger, used to rock the cape, tried to save me, I hold and I learned from it. None of these bitches deserve being saved. I'm an ape when I bathe, I'm a king, homie. She ain't my man, so go fuck who you want. When you get here, I mean that shit sing for me. My brothers pick up whenever I call. Every time that I call, bought a ring for them. Cause they never let the phone ring. And they honest even when it stings.
Yes, we back, y'all. Hey, Mo, we just had the legendary LeVar Arrington on the My Bookie Hotlines on the Some Dude Show, my brother. That was crazy childhood nostalgia right there, man.
It was crazy, bro. Literally, man, because I told you, like, you give me LT vibes when he was at Penn State and when he got in the league, bro. It was, like, crazy, bro, because, you know, I was trying to get his jersey when I was a kid, like all kind of shit. So to hear him, you know, how articulate he is, you know, with his career, it was really a dope experience, man, to hear him speak about the league and then speak about basketball, speak about his past, speak about family and everything, man. I just wanted to make sure I got some questions, man, because these are the guys that kind of formed and shaped our futures. You know, him, Deion, these guys, like, not comparing them, but just saying in general, you know, you get to really listen to them and hear their past and their stories. And LeVar's dope as shit, man. That was really cool, bro.
Yeah, I wanted to ask him even more. I know we're going to link up with him in the future, but I wanted to ask him about Deion Sanders, speaking to guys he played with, like those Colorado, those Buffs, bro. The Buffs are 2-0. Everybody, look, now everybody want to go on My Bookie. Everybody trying to bet on the Colorado Buffs now, bro. You see the circle back now? Everybody trying to love Deion now?
I see the circle back, bro. And I see the numbers. You know what I'm saying? And I see the love for Shador. You know what I'm saying? Everybody loved Travis anyway. Travis Hunter, of course. But seeing what Deion is doing in that whole entire community, bro. It ain't just a team. He done built a community with everybody. And it's amazing, bro. Like, everybody in that area. And Deion, he's done it, man. I mean, he coached like he played. You know what I'm saying? He got everybody with confidence. Everybody on the team has the confidence that he had when he played.
Bro, I'm loving and it. Shedeur Sanders Heisman Trophy is coming.
It's coming, Shedeur. It's coming. And I love Drake May. He's from Charlotte. I love Drake May, Carolina. But Shedeur got that shit with him. You know what I'm saying? You know when he got it with him. He got it. So as long as they continue to do what they're doing, man, two big wins, I think he'll he gonna continue to progress as the season goes because of his confidence and his backing and his dad coaching him. That's the goal right there. That's the grail. You know, and his dad.
We got NFL. We got Monday Night Football on right now. We got the Jets. You know, we got the Jets, Aaron Rodgers. We about to go watch the game. I'm getting my bet situated on my bookie, bro. We got the Jets and the Bills. Like I asked LeVar, how do you see these Jets and Aaron Rodgers? How do you see this shaping out?
See, for me, man, I'm finna go watch it right now, bro. I love Josh Allen. I ain't gonna lie. I love, of course, Aaron Rodgers, Hall of Fame shit. I think the Bills have a better roster right now. As long as Aaron is healthy and they can build around him, I think they'll have more success in the future.
Speaking of New York and speaking of the city of New York, you saw the fucking New York Giants last night. They laid an egg. The Dallas Cowboys. I know you know a lot of Cowboys fans too. The Cowboy fans, I was on my bookie, right? The Cowboys were a plus 1350 before yesterday. They was a plus 1350 to win the Super Bowl. Now, after week one, Dallas is sitting at plus 1075 right now on mybookie.ag. You tell me, are delusional Cowboy fans, is this their year? Is this their year to bet the bacon? Is this the year for the Cowboys? Dak Prescott, is this the year? Because we've been seeing this same shit for the last two, three, four, however many years, right? They have all the pieces now.
Yeah. Honestly, bro, I think Dak is like a B-minus quarterback. No disrespect. I just think he's a B-minus guy. I think he's good enough to not lose you a game. He's like Kirk Cousins or something.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? No Kirk Cousins, you know what I'm saying? But one of those guys that's going to, like, lead a team to a Super Bowl with injuries, like B minus to C, weapons with him, running back, wide receivers, tight end. Like, you know, he I don't know if he can do that. You know, we've seen Patrick Mahomes do that. We've seen Josh Allen kind of do that before. I don't know if they – I don't have them getting to the Super Bowl. But I have them making a lot of noise.
Who do you feel good about yesterday? Like, who do you feel good about betting on right now? Like, I know it's just week one. Like, even Lamar Jackson said it on Twitter. He's rusty. A lot of guys show rust. They didn't get a lot of preseason reps. But after week one, who do you feel comfortable? Because I'm looking at it right now. I'm on mybookie.ag, and I'm looking at the Kansas City Chiefs are still the favorite, even though they got upset in week one. But who do you feel the most confident about going into the rest of this season?
My dark horse is the Lions. Ooh. I ain't gonna lie. I mean, they shouldn't – like, the Chiefs should have won that game, but the Lions look different now. I ain't gonna lie, bro.
Yeah, the defense is strong, bro.
Yeah, it looked different. And Jared Goff looked good. You know what I'm saying? Like, of course, my Panthers. I still got us winning our division. You know, I got to do that. Dallas, of course, they look good.
Amo.
They look good. They look good yesterday, bro.
Hey, look, Amo, they got your Carolina Panthers on my bookie right now. Your Carolina Panthers are plus 9,000.
They got it on it right now.
They plus 9,000 to go to the Super Bowl. You might want
to. I'm not saying we got a rookie quarterback. He's not Patrick Mahomes. He's really good, but he's Drew Brees to me. But we're going to have to make sure our offensive line stays healthy because he can see over that line, though. He'll be all right. You know what I'm saying?
I said it yesterday. I was watching Bryce Young yesterday, and I was like, yo, you know what? He has got to get in the weight room and get his protein together. They got to get him on a strength and conditioning program, which I know they're trying to, but, like, he is really built like a Twitch streamer. Like, he's like a little kid. He's like a kid out there against
grown men. Yeah, that looks like my oldest son, bro, Caden, 10 years old, bro. But he's talented as shit. Like, he's really nice. You know, I mean, he's a rookie. You know, it is what it is. Look, bro, I'm in for the long haul. All my Atlanta Falcons homies talking shit. I know what is coming. I know. I understand. He started all that, threw him to the fire. It is. That's why I like what LeVar was saying. He was like, man, you know, it ain't going to be this year, but, you know, it'll be eventually. So the next two drafts got to be offensive line. You know what I'm saying? Like, protect him. So then we can, if we protect him, we'll be all right, man. We can find weapons. You can find a great receiver in the third or fourth round now. Yeah. They everywhere. Everything's offensive. You can find a great running back. You can find that in the second or third round. Like, so, you know,
we'll figure it out. Shout out to the Miami Dolphins fans. I know y'all feeling good. Joy Taylor, my dog, my homegirl. Joy Taylor feeling good. The Miami Dolphins, they beat the Chargers. Who I'm still high on the Chargers, right? They got the Chargers sitting at – where the Chargers sitting at, right? They got the Chargers. Nobody believes it. The Chargers are plus 2,400, so that's still a pretty good bet, a pretty good bet, man. I like the Chargers. I like what I saw out of Trevor Lawrence yesterday, Jacksonville Jaguars. Man, we about to get this thing landed, bro. We're going to land this plane because we got to get in here and watch Monday Night Football. But before I go, y'all, Anthony Morrow, I appreciate you once again, my brother, pulling up impromptu. We got LeVar Arrington. Shout out to the OG LeVar Arrington, man.
Shout out to him, bro.
Shout out to LeVar Arrington. And shout out to the guys over at MyBookie. Make sure if y'all betting, if y'all playing them parlays, I know y'all going to be playing them parlays. I know y'all going to be playing those bets, all those bets, every type of bet, player props, all that. Go to MyBookie. Use the code Cuffs. If you put $50 in, you will receive $200. You can't beat that. If you put $50 up, you're going to get $200 welcome bonus, my bookie account. I don't know about y'all, but I be sitting in front of the TV. I'm trying to get involved with all type of prop bets. I love the player props, receptions, yards. I love that shit. So shout out to my guys over at my bookie. Amo, we're going to get in here and we're going to watch Aaron Rodgers and Josh Allen go at it. We know everybody going to be overreacting after one game. The AFC East is looking. The AFC East is stacked. You got the Dolphins. We saw Tua yesterday. He had 466 yards, 3 touchdowns. Tyreek Hill had 11 catches, over 200 yards. I think those guys, that's a good bet to put in right now. Tyreek Hill, he is going to lead the league in receiving yards on this pace.
He's always open.
Always.
As long as Tua get that shit to him, bro, he good. As long as Tua get it to him, he's amazing. Jalen Waddle, all them guys, like, that's what it is. They just got to make sure that he stays healthy, bro. That's my only thing with Tua. I never thought Tua was a bad quarterback. I just thought, like, as long as he's healthy. You know, his deep ball ain't crazy, pause. But as long as he can get, as long as those guys can get open, he got weapons everywhere. You know what I'm saying? So, like, long as he stays healthy, I think he, you know, he could be one of them guys, man, be up for, like, MVP or something like that. They keep playing like they're playing, and the guys, they're going to get open. They fast. They run route well. That's what it is.
I will say this. Speaking of the AFC East, before we go, Bill Belichick, I asked this question to Joy Taylor on the last episode, and I got to say it live on AMP right now. Some do show before we head out. I appreciate y'all tuning in. But Bill Belichick, you're my guy. I saw Tom Brady yesterday ringing the bell at the Patriot Stadium, at Gillette Stadium, and it really dawned on me, man. It's time for Bill Belichick to go home and be a family man. The jig is hovering, Bill. We love you, Bill. We love you, Hoodie. But look, man, the Patriots dynasty is officially over. You're just wasting the golden years of your life. It's time to go on vacation. It's time to live your golden years. The Patriots, it's time to blow it up. We need a full rebuild because the jig is hovering. And you know what, man? You know who I really like that I think is going to be possibly another Kurt Warner, Tom Brady, you know, like legendary comeback story or rags to riches story? is Brock Purdy, and the San Francisco 49ers. They kicked the Steelers' ass yesterday.
Yeah, my dad gonna hit his shit, man. He ain't gonna like that. But me and Joe Green Steelers back in the day type shit. But I told him that is right. And I love Mike Tomlin. I love the Steelers organization. They always, you know, their organization in general, up top, executives, GMs, owner, the Rooneys, right?
Yeah, the Rooneys, yeah.
Yeah. So they always keep like a real tight-knit organization. But yeah, man, you know, when they start talking about them winning, like maybe getting to the playoffs, because Mike Thomas has never not been to the playoffs. You know, my pops love them. So, yeah, they got their ass whooped yesterday, man. I didn't even call my dad yesterday, bro. I didn't even call him.
I know we have a lot of Pittsburgh Steelers fans tapping into the Some Dude Show. I just want to say this. I'm going to keep it spicy. Y'all know that's what I do. I keep it mango habanero. I just got to ask the question. I just want to pose the question. Is Mike Tomlin, is he milking that one ring from 2008 the same way that the 2008 Celtics are milking that one ring? I feel like Mike Tomlin, if he didn't have that one ring, he might be on the hot seat because, yes, he gets to the playoffs, but it's still something missing from the Steelers. Like, they're not the same Steelers, man.
Yeah, I mean, we got to – I mean, at this point, we got to see what Kenny Pickett is going to turn into. So, I mean, you know, if you got the coach and the quarterback right, that's it. So, like, then you build around that, basically. But, you know, they got to make some noise. But at this point, I do feel like them getting to the playoffs is a standard when with the Steelers is like getting to the Super Bowl. They wanted the blue bloods of the NFL. So, you know, the guys, like the people that really looked like the real fans and the football people, they were like, look, hey man, just getting to the playoffs ain't enough. Like for us, for the Carolina Panthers, like we get to the playoffs, oh, we did what we supposed to do with a rookie quarterback. It ain't going to be like that with the Steelers or the Cowboys. Giants losing 40-0 yesterday. They ain't enough. They ain't it. You know what I'm saying? You know the blue blood.
Hey, yo. Hey, Cincinnati Bengals fans, listen to me before we go. Cincinnati Bengals fans, don't panic. Do not panic. I saw everybody panicking yesterday. They was calling Joe Burrow. They called him all kind of names. They was calling Joe Burrow a bust. He got the bread. He ain't the same guy. Just relax. Joe Burrow is rusty. He didn't get a lot of reps. He had a little injury in the preseason. The Cincinnati Bengals, they're not going to go back to what they used to be. I have confidence. Joe Burrow is baby Tom Brady. Joe Burrow was born in a manger just like Tom Brady. So I think Joe Burrow is going to be just fine in the AFC North. So Cincinnati Bengals fans, just relax. Breathe through your nostrils. That's the beautiful thing, Amo, about week one. Everybody overreacts. Either way.
That's the beauty about sports. Bro, when your Lakers play, and they lose, if they lose. I'm not saying they're going to lose. If they lose. LeBron's done. He needed to retire. 21 years up. All that shit, bro. When you really came from it, bro, you understand, man. That game, when them lights come on TV, is different than preseason games. It's different than, like, the workouts. It's different than everything. Look, bro, I ain't going to lie. And I stand on this. I've been saying it. I said it on my podcast. It's the Life Podcast. I stood on it. And I still stand on it. Joe Burrow remind me of Joe Montana. I ain't never seen nobody remind me of Joe Montana. I say he's like that. And I stand on it.
Yeah, he's poised. You know what I'm saying? He has that poise.
Yeah, his poise is crazy. You know what I mean? Joe had, like, Jerry Rice, like, he has some guys, of course, but at the same time, like, you got Jamar Chase over there, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got a weapon every time you step outside on Sunday. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. And he young, and he a baby. He ain't even older. He got the bag, but he ain't tripping. So I'm like, I believe in Tua. The only thing with Tua is his health. I'm like, I be worried about them concussions and stuff and him getting hit. But I said Tua, nice. I saw when he stepped in that game at Alabama and he came out there and went crazy. I was like, nah, he a pro, bro. I'm like, he's a pro. You can see it when you see it.
Yeah.
Said that about Bryce Young, too. That's why I was like, I'm glad we traded a lot to get him. Don't get me wrong. I didn't want to lose DJ Moore. But at the same time, it's like, we got a guy that we can depend on. We just don't need him to drop back 35, 40 times. You know what I'm saying? But
I know I told y'all not to panic with Joe Burrow. And I know I told some of the other fan bases not to panic. But Washington Commander Skins, your season is already over. Arizona, all those teams, man, like, I hate to say it, but, like, it's just a waste of time. No disrespect to those fans. The jig is already over. It's over.
The jig hovering.
Houston Texans, hey, D'Amico Ryan's my brother in Christ. It's going to be a long year. C.J. Stroud, my brother, it's going to be a long year. But before we go, Anthony, I got to say this, man. Team USA, y'all let us down, man. Y'all finished fourth in the FIBA World Cup. The jig has hovered on Team USA. Those bullshit lineups, that bullshit roster they put together. We had too many selfish players, combined with unselfish players. It was a bad group they sent over there. Grant Hill, you my guy from Duke. Y'all got to fix it. And guess what's going to happen in next year, 2024 Paris? Guess who's coming? Guess what's going to happen, y'all? The Avengers, the Team USA Avengers, Bron, KD, AD, Booker, Steph Curry, Jason Tatum. Oh, the jig is about to be hovering. Dennis Schroeder, you got the MVP of the FIBA, but guess what's going to happen in 2024 Olympics? We beating everybody ass by 60, Amo. We beating everybody by 50. We going back to the 92 Dream Team where we was beating people by 50, and we had the other team trying to shake hands and get autographs. That's what I want to see, Amo.
Hey, bro, I got to see it, bro. Now we got the guys, man. The guys care right now. You know what I mean? I love everybody that's on the team. That was on the team. Bobby Portis, that's my glove homie. I love him. You know, Tyrese Halliburton, all these guys, man.
I like them. I like those guys, too.
Yeah, but when we get them dudes on that, Bron, KD, AD, all of them, nah, it's over with. You know what I'm saying? And they, because the thing, Steph, like, those guys know how to play with other superstars. You see what I'm saying? So, like, when they get out and they know how to play, you know what I'm saying? When they get out there, bro, like, it's not going to be your turn, my turn shit. It's going to be we playing together. I don't have to do as much. But I know Steph going, we're going to run this for Steph. We're going to run this for Bron. We're going to run this for KD. Okay, AD over there on the block in the mid-range. Okay, we're going to run that for him. It's going to be a whole different situation, bro. You know what I'm saying? They're going to have a documentary on them. It's going to be like another Redeem Team type shit. You know what I'm saying?
We are going to Paris. We're going to get our crumpets. We're going to get our croissants with some honey butter. We're going to be there doing the Some Dude Show live in Paris. We're going to be at the nice hotel. We're going to be getting the content for y'all people. And it's going to go down because I feel like what's happening right now around the world, you see how these teams was flexing on us. We seen Lithuania, they licking their tongue out of it. They swagging on us, bro. Team USA needs to put the fucking fear back in these other countries because they think we sweet, man. They think it's sweet, bro.
Yeah. I'm going to have my bonnet on, bro, when we go to Paris. I'm going to have the bonnet on with the braids coming down with the bonnet on. I'm on that.
M. Bison.
Hey,
I appreciate y'all for tuning in, man. Supporting the Some Dude Show. Shout out to my partners at MyBookie. We got some good bets going on. MyBookie, that's your trusted source. Place all your bets over there. I know a lot of y'all bummed out because you have those other apps that you can't bet on. Look at all these bets that's going on. Even tonight, New York Jets, Aaron Rodgers. We got week two coming up. We got all type of celebrity guests pulling up next week and the week after. The Some Dude Show is going up, y'all. Welcome to Death Row Records, man. My guy, Amo, I appreciate you pulling up. We about to go watch Aaron Rodgers and Josh Allen do this shit, man.
That's a fact. Welcome to Death Row Records, people. We love you.
appreciate y'all.
I want to see the best side of me. I know it is. Ooh. Niggas say they outside, but with no place to go. They say, Rand, you look young. They see in my face a glow that resembles the greats before. Nas, Big Face, and Hov. I got a ways to go, but don't you try to give me them flowers that took a day to grow. See me, I let them haters know. And I tell my people around me I'm trying to feed. You gon' bleed if you take your plate to go. No, I wanna see the best side of me. But money changes niggas like bribery. And now they telling lies to me. Addicted to the life with no sobriety. I had some lost niggas that was guiding me violently. Now I get teary-eyed when my daughter says bye to me. Silently, I keep it all inside of me. Cause this is how I gotta be.
I wanna see the best side.
Yeah, I hope you seeing what is what. Was always full of hatred, couldn't love enough. That's why I said enough's enough. But those who bet against me, I tell them niggas, let's double up. Deal a card, shuffle up. Pioneers spilling your heart on tracks and they shut them up. First one through the wall is always gonna get bloodied up. And now this runner up is about to run it up. Too bad y'all niggas runners up. Niggas drunk the Kool-Aid, but it's too late. Cause most of these rapping niggas gon' want a cup. You never seen me buddied up when niggas ain't the same cloth. Taking pics, hugging up, telling stories that ain't yours. You ain't never blow your gun clean, blood off a stained floor. Yeah, you might be holding one, but we ain't on the same course. I'm wrapping up a large peak, headed to the main source. Some crackers in a RV with Berettas and some chainsaws. That's why I spent this pain for. For niggas locked up and she say it ain't yours. Brother dead on the same call, another death got your brain paused. We remain floored, can't afford to weather the storm. Cause even the rain pour, now we not the same dog. Please let me explain, Lord. If I'm in a crowd of niggas, who you think they gon' aim for? Yeah, yours truly. To all these fake rappers who swear that war's a movie, I clear the walls of juvie, your fearless bars don't move me. You playing a game, prepared for Call of Duty. The ops saying my name, I hear the calls of duty. The cops put them in chains, I swear them laws are spooky. But I hear the guards as groupies, they tell me this my last gasp. I take a deep breath and reassess, I'm in the mirror working on my last laugh.
Huh. Ayo, Rand, let me talk on this, my nigga. Know what I'm saying? Ayo, turn me up in the headphones, man. Know what I mean? Hey, y'all, I remember being stressed out about cream. But I ain't never lose sleep, my nigga. What's a visionary without dreams? I needed rest to see out schemes like navigation. My imagination could reroute things. Only kings know about queens. I found mine and I hired a maid to keep the house clean. Now where would I be without fiends? They took care of me, shit. Some even gave me their house keys. In 03, we was drought kings. Got a warehouse full of things just in case my accounts freeze. A marathon ain't about speed. You gotta pace yourself, this ain't about greed. I told my bitch, I'm the man of the house, let your spouse lead. Y'all niggas will bite your tongue till your mouth bleed. I was just giving out peas. Now that same safe is full of contracts and house deeds. I'm dealing with this anxiety and all these mental issues that's inside of me. I just wanna see the best side of me. So I go inside of the booth and get privacy. Hire me a private masseuse, reflexology. You gotta seek honesty and truth to respect modesty. Beefing with people that set policies, knowing my product's the best quality. But this is how I gotta be, huh? And I was always taught to get rid of beef. Lemon squeeze with a banana clip, that's bittersweet. I'm off balance chemically, mixed energy. Y'all mix money and power with bitch tendencies. It take more than money and power to get rid of me, huh? And that's probably why I ain't died yet. Couple niggas tried and failed, homie, I'm God sent. It's a process when you a living prophet. First you manifest it, then you visualize it. That's how you turn something subjective into an object. Trust.
Special tears, cause nobody gave a fuck. So I cried out in cursive letters.